Queer FM, Arts Extra. My name's Aiden Saint. Well, you knew that by now. It's CITR 101.9 FM, and we've got some great stuff for you on tap. We've got a little bit from Justin Saint. He's got a TV review of, well, some of the TV shows that I can't stand, to be honest with you. We have a running joke, my husband and I, and that is, we love Homorazzi.com, guys. They're really cool. They're really funny. They make us laugh. We've worked with them before. Fantastic stuff. But I have this thing that if they like it, I'm probably going to friggin' hate it. So there are a couple of things they really liked that I can't stand. And Justin Saint, he's going to review a few of those things to wrap up your gay TV experience. We also have a lot of music that I've pulled up. It's national, or it's international coming out day. Yeah, that's right. And also one of the things that I wanted to talk about is Ryan Clayton. Ryan Clayton has done an awful lot here in Vancouver, and they have the Purple Letter campaign. You check out Purple Letter campaign on Twitter. You can check it out on Facebook. And essentially it's telling the stories and sending them to the Canadian national government and saying, look, here's the stories. This is why we really need to make sure that students have a place to go where they're not being harassed. They're not being bullied. They're not being picked on constantly. Look, I grew up in a pretty rough neighborhood, in a pretty rough little rural town in the middle of nowhere. And we got picked on just for being from a different town originally. Okay. I mean, seriously, to get picked on because your legs are normal length and your torso isn't like 3/4 of your body. I mean, genetically, that's the city that my parents moved to as a child. And you always knew who was different. And you always got picked on. And if you can imagine having the wherewithal and the courage as a young, you know, person to come out at age, what, 13, 14? Really? I'm amazed and so proud of our youth today that can do things that we could not ever do. So I know this is part of my Queer FM shtick, and that's on Sunday nights, but check out Purple Letter Campaign. Google it. Check it out. Help out. Donate to the cause. It's wrapping up on the 20th of October, and you've got time to be a part of it. All right, so we are going to play the hockey song. Now, this is in honor of Don Cherry. Don Cherry, talking about arts, Don Cherry got on and did a little rant about three hockey players who he says are against fighting in the NHL, which is really interesting because only one of them spoke up and said anything to that effect. Well, now there's a lawsuit. They're talking lawsuit. They want an apology from the man who wears the obnoxious jackets. Again, I'm not from here, but I have to say, wow, really, Don? You remind me of a guy named Howard Cosell. Look him up. Google him. Yeah. Really? Yeah. This is the hockey song, Warren Zevon, inspiration for Red State by none other than, Kevin Smith. Oh, I blanked for a second. Nice recovery. All right, CITR 101.9 FM, this is Queer FM Arts Extra.
He was born in Big Beaver by the borderline. He started playing hockey by the time he was 9. His dad took the hose and froze the backyard. Little buddy dreamed he was Rocket Richard. He grew up big and he grew up tough. He saw himself scoring for the Windsor Canucks, but he wasn't that good with a puck. Buddy's real talent was beating people up. His heart wasn't in it, but the crowd ate it up. Through peewees and juniors and midgets and mites, he must have racked up more than 300 fights. Till a scout from the Flames came down from Saskatoon, said there's always room on our team for a goon. Son, we've always got room for a goon. There were Swedes to the left of him, Russians to the right, a check at the blue line looking for a fight. Rain
brains overgrown, that might work for you. What's a Canadian farm boy to do?
It's somebody.
What else can a farm boy from Canada do?
It's somebody.
What's a Canadian farm boy to do?
It's somebody.
What else can a farm boy from Canada do?
It's somebody was what the crowd roared when Buddy the Goon came over the boards. Coach, he'd say, I want to score goals. The coach said, Buddy, remember your role. The best guys get paid, they shoot and they score. Protect them, Buddy, that's what you're here for. Protection is what you're here for. Protection, it's the stars who score. Protection, go and kick somebody's ass. Protection, don't put the biscuit in the basket, just hit somebody. It rang in his ears, blood on the ice ran down through the years. The king of the goons with a box for a throw, a thousand stitches and broken bones. He never lost a fight on his icy patrol, but deep inside Buddy only dreamed of a goal. He just wanted one damn goal. There were Swedes at the blue line and Finns at the red, a Russian with a stick heading straight for his head. Brains over brawn, that might work for you. What's a Canadian farm boy to do?
It's somebody.
What else can a farm boy from Canada do?
It's somebody.
What's a Canadian farm boy to do?
It's somebody.
What else can a farm boy from Canada do? In his final season, on his final night, Buddy and a Finn goon were pegged for a fight. 30 seconds left, the puck took a roll, and suddenly Buddy had a shot on goal. A goalie committed, Buddy picked his spot. 20 years of waiting went into that shot. The fans jumped up, and the Finn jumped too. And cold cock Buddy on his follow through. The big man crumbled, but he felt all right, 'cause the last thing he saw was the flashing red light. He saw that heavenly night. There were Swedes to the left of him, Russians to the right, a check at the blue line looking for a fight. Take care of your teeth, that might work for you. What's a Canadian farm boy to do?
It's somebody.
What else can a farm boy from Canada do?
It's somebody.
What's a Canadian farm boy to do?
It's somebody.
What else can a farm boy from Canada do?
It's somebody.
What's a Canadian farm boy to do?
It's somebody.
What else can a farm boy from Canada do?
Wow, we had, I was attacked by my headset. Oh my God. Well, I am pleased as hell, actually, to have one of our new hosts for Queer FM Arts Extra, and she's here in the studio trying to gulp down some coffee because 9:30 is really friggin' early in the morning. And that is the premiere of Barb Snellgrove. She's going to be doing some of our roundabout town segments here on Queer FM Arts Extra, and I'm sure we'll get her into some of the madness of political commentary every once in a while, especially if it's something like this, which is hockey. So say hello, Barb.
Yes, hockey is politics in this country anyway. Good morning, everybody.
So basically, we played that Zevon tune to lead up to this here in the world of sports. Well, it's all over the net. It's all over the CBC. The CBC commentator Don Cherry.
He stuck his foot in his mouth. Wow! Surprise, surprise.
I was going to say he stepped on his dick, but that's okay. You know, I can actually say that. So
the implication being sheer size.
Yeah, and we're talking length, not girth. So it's all over the net. Tennessee law firm representing former NHL players Chris Nyland. Is it Nyland or Nyland? Nyland, I think. Jim Thompson and Stu Grimson said in a statement Tuesday that Don Cherry's conduct has, quote, demonstrated a complete lack of decency as they were seeking further recourse, a.k.a. lawsuit, for the colorful CBC commentator. In an episode of Coach's Corner last Thursday, Cherry referred to the trio as pukes, hypocrites, and turncoats for speaking out against fighting in the sport of hockey, accusing them of not wanting players to make the same living they did. Okay, let's stop right there. The same living they did.
Yeah, that line kind of throws me for a loop, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Cherry's rant suggested that Grimson, Nyland, and Thompson said NHL players who fight are prone to substance abuse. Their comments stemmed from the deaths of Derek Bugard,
Rick Rypien,
and Wayne Bielak earlier this year. Cherry said in Saturday's edition of Coach's Corner that he had no regrets about his rant. Okay, quote, maybe one regret with the puke stuff, with the kids listening in that, he said during the first intermission of the game between the Ottawa Senators and the Toronto Maple Leafs. In response, the trio released a statement early Tuesday through the Nashville law firm of Kay Griffin and blah, 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 where Grimson now works as a lawyer. God, don't piss off a lawyer.
Yeah, that's it right there. I think that's the operative phrase, is you have a guy who is now a lawyer. I think that goes a long way towards why this is happening.
And it basically, blah, 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 legalese, legalese, legalese. Okay, and then it says, in light of the damaging and inflammatory nature of Mr. Cherry's comments, they're considering further recourse. And what they've come basically out and said is, we want an on-air formal apology. Now, I was first experienced Don Cherry, I have to say, when I came to Canada, and he reminded me immediately of Howard Cosell.
Yes.
Howard Cosell, the great commentator of the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
80s, my God.
Yeah, he actually died, I think it was 1996. But he used to be the anchor of Monday Night Football, along with Dandy Don Meredith and whomever else they had on.
And Fran Tarkenton, the second voice of Muhammad Ali.
Oh my goodness! And
his muse.
And the interviews that he used to have with Muhammad Ali are legend.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you can imagine someone who's hyper intelligent, which was Howard Cosell.
Oh, absolutely.
But he put on this arrogant persona and wore those really bad ABC Sports jackets. And so I see Don Cherry with all these amazingly flamboyant jackets and talking, and I went, wow, it's like that Michael Myers or Mike Myers skit from the Alaska movie. It's a hockey film. It's called Mystery Alaska. And if you haven't seen it, you need to see it because...
really?
Yeah, Mike Myers totally rips on Don Cherry. Does a complete caricature of him. But, you know, Mr. Cherry, hey, I know you've been in hockey a long time, and for the most part, I find your comments entertaining, but the substance abuse thing, really?
Well, I'm not quite sure in here who's he's referring to the substance abuse. Where was that line? I can't remember where it was.
He refers to basically that, let's see here.
It says players are prone to substance abuse. Is he talking about the trifecta, the three who are...
I think he's talking about goons. Okay. And
Are they prone to substance abuse while they're gooning, or is this later on in their life when they get out of the sport?
That's the thing. And furthermore, look, I understand that we tune in to see a fight, and occasionally they'll play a little hockey.
It's part and parcel with hockey.
Okay,
yeah.
And I get that, but
for good or bad.
You've got people that have head injuries and are really starting to get screwed up from just. I mean, it's in American football. They had I have a sports medicine degree, and they actually did some studies in the 80s and 90s about the size and speed of the players. And that there's no way that the equipment could ever keep up.
Okay. Well, half the problem, as far as I know, half the problem is the equipment, because as soon as you put helmets on hockey players, then they started taking hits to the head.
Oh, yeah. But regardless of which sport you're talking about, football or hockey, the bottom line is that when you take a shot to the head, be it from an unmovable object like ice, or an equally
unmovable wall,
or a wall, or glass, or an equally unmovable object like a guy skating at you at top speed, levels your head. Your brain bounces around in your little skull, and no amount of hockey padding, no amount of helmet, no amount of anything is going to solve that problem. It's just kind of part of the design of human beings. So you have to ask yourself, you know, when you see some of these people that have career-ending injuries, and later in life they have all kinds of other illnesses and long-term chronic problems.
As do boxers, as do football players, right. a lot of sports out there.
At what point do you have to say, okay, look, we're going back to leather helmets, or y'all can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to let you do that, and you know, we're not going to slap you on the wrist and put you in the box for a minute and 30 seconds. No. Your ass is going to the locker room, and that's the way it is.
And I mean, helmets are a great thing. I was watching Rick Martin, who was a legendary player for, I do believe it was the Buffalo Sabres. He passed away last week, and this brought this whole subject up again, mm-hmm. because he's the old school. Back, I guess the 70s, he played,
mm-hmm.
and they show video footage of him going down to the ice. He does take a hit. It is low,
mm-hmm.
but you know, you don't always stay upright. And he does take a hit, and you know, it's one of those wince-inducing little things to watch, because his head lands first, and he's going down. And of course, he wasn't wearing a helmet, because they didn't back then,
right?
And it really, you could feel it right through the television screen. He had a helmet on the following week, so you know, I do have to sort of amend what I said earlier about not having helmets. They didn't hit. I mean, you're still going to, the head's going to take a bruising regardless, but there was a hell of a lot less hits like they do now, because now we've, you know, we create all this padding, and it's like, okay, well, now it's, you know, it's fine to take them in this way.
Oh, yeah.
Jump, you'll throw them up 10 feet in the air with a good shoulder, and we all love that. And I think hockey would be a very, very boring place if there was no fighting. And I don't think fighting is necessarily a cause of a lot of these, you know, substances. I think it's more taking these hits.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And it's just been really, really hard to see. And yeah, I don't know.
Don Cherry, it's Don.
Yeah.
And all they're doing is giving him another few minutes. Although, you know, in the glass half full category, this is a great subject to have, you know, front foremost always.
Well, and it really, you know, hey, you know, it's a tempest in a teapot, really. I mean,
Don Cherry,
you've pissed off a lawyer, and, you know, come on.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, what's he going to do?
I don't know. My opinion is, okay, Don, fall on your sword, apologize to the guy, and you know, he's had his part of his 15 minutes, and that's it.
Oh, I don't think it's finished playing out yet.
Oh, no, I'm sure it's not.
No, that's for sure.
It's, come on.
And Don's got a microphone and the forum to, the soapbox to speak from, so.
So, now... For those of you who don't know, Barb Snellgrove is a diehard hockey fan. In fact, you can find her down at the Fountainhead Pub often watching hockey, amongst other places. And so I'm curious because, you know, I'm just a curious sort. So what do you think the chances are of the Canucks this year? How are they doing? How are they looking?
I don't want to jinx anything.
Okay.
We won last night, and that's as far as I'll take it. It's always too early. I mean,
they look good?
Now,
there was one player, and I'm terrible with hockey names. I'm still trying to figure out what the blue line is, to be honest.
I'm still trying to figure out all the new guys.
But we lost a player to a head injury at the end of last season. And I'm trying to figure out.
And to a back injury?
Yeah.
And the back injury one was going back to what we were talking about. That was just such a bad hit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, well, we won't even get into the refereeing in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year, which was akin to the 72 Russia-Canada series.
But, oh, my goodness.
But I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a fresh season. It's a new day at school. And I really don't want to jinx anything by going long-term. You always hope. I mean, last year was our year, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, there's no... I'm still waiting on that parade. And I've been following our illustrious Canucks since I was a little girl, first year. And I'll keep waiting. I'm just hoping in my lifetime. that I will get to see a Stanley Cup parade.
Well, you know, it's kind of like me and the Seattle Mariners. You know, it's like they'll do really well and then not so well.
Well, we also have the that god awful luck of being in the division we're in, and of course having so much flight time we have to drop.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. We're going to step aside here, Queer FM Arts Extra. We are so happy to welcome Barb Snellgrove on, and you're going to be hearing all kinds of her running around town, telling you about where you should go, and you know, you should really listen, because Barb knows. She does. And if you don't think so, well, I'll send her to your house. You're not going to like that. All right, so
there's a threat and a promise.
There you go. We're going to step aside here for just a little bit, and one of my favorite new tunes that's coming up. Also, we're going to play a little something from the Granger Brothers. What would happen if you have two really kind of two Canadian filmmakers that are hanging out, having a beer on the front porch, and they want to somehow enter a film contest? And, well, here's what happened.
Do you know what the funniest thing of America is?
What?
This is a little difference. I mean, you can get the same stuff over there that you can get over here. Only over there, it is just a little different.
Example.
All right, well, you cannot walk into a movie theater in America and order a glass of beer. You cannot even get one in a little paper cup. Here, Paris, you can get a beer at McDonald's. Do you know what they call a Royale with cheese in America?
They don't call it a Royale with cheese?
No. They've got the imperial system of measurement over there. They do not know what Royale is.
So what do they call it?
They call it a quarter pounder with cheese.
Quarter pounder with cheese? Mais oui. And what do they call Le Big Mac?
Le Big Mac is Le Big Mac. Only over there they call it Big Mac. Big Mac!
And what do they call their weapon?
I do not know. I did not go into Burger King. Do you know what they put on French fries in America instead of mayonnaise? Ketchup.
Zut alors! Mais oui!
that was Jeff Bridges. Yeah, that Jeff Bridges. He's done some fantastic things in his
Academy
movies.
Award winner.
Academy Award winner. He was in the fabulous Baker Boys, and if you missed that,
the Big Lebowski, the classic.
The dude. And he's done all kinds of fantastic stuff, and he actually started this sort of country band during a movie called Heaven's Gate in 1980.
Dubious distinction of being the biggest bomb of all time. That's its official title. Michael Cimino's Heaven's Gate.
That is correct. And the really odd thing about Heaven's Gate is it really wasn't that big a bomb now compared
to now.
It cost
so much money.
Oh, it was just awful. Anyway, so he got together with some of the actors from that, and they started jamming, and here we are in 2011, and he's been on Jon Stewart, he's been on The Tonight Show, he's been on Stephen Colbert, he's great.
Yeah, Bacon Brothers, not me, but I what's not to love about Jeff Bridges? It's Big Warren Bear.
So it's top of the hour, it's 10 a.m., we got a half an hour left with Queer FM Arts Extra. I'm here, Aiden Saint, with Barb Snellgrove.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi, Barb.
It's a full on rolling ourselves out of bed this morning to make it into all our various school and work and assorteds after far too many turkey opportunities over the weekend.
You know,
I'm more stuffed than the one that we did last night.
Well, we after our little food coma yesterday, Justin Saint went into the other room to watch a few shows. Pan Am was one. Glee.
Transparency. Aiden Saint hates Pan Am.
I watched
it yesterday too.
I actually, for me, see, and I'm going to do a shout out to Joni, because Joni tweeted about this and like 10 minutes after the premiere of Pan Am said something to the effect of, and I'm paraphrasing, my life is complete. Pan Am is what I've been waiting for. And so I went, okay. So I downloaded it because no way I was watching that live. I don't know. Downloaded it and went, yeah, cool costumes. Yeah, they're pretty accurate with the Howard Hughes planes here. Yeah, they didn't mention Howard Hughes. That's kind of weird. There's no historical context for this. What the hell? They're landing in Cuba? Hell no. No, 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 no. And then it was like, 22 minutes in, I went, Pan Am wants to be Mad Men when it grows up, and it never will. It's really fluffy, okay? And they try to throw in a little bit of political
intrigue.
Great
cinematography.
Yeah, I mean, it's really pretty. But I've been watching Mad Men now for years, and it's just not going to measure up.
You can't, though. You've got to look at it under it's like comparing Hercules and Xena. I mean, it's just you got to give each one its own credit and let her do its thing.
Yeah, I suppose. But,
yeah, drag queens for sure. Great costumes, great sets.
Oh, my God.
Sets,
and I'm just going,
retro, pretty girls.
I do leather drag, and I'm not seeing any bikers in this thing. So, I'm not impressed. Well, we are going to get to that right now. This is a television review from Justin Saint, and he took a little time, so we're going to play this. And he's at Blanche McDonald right now, doing his makeup stuff. So this is for you, Justin Saint, here on Queer FM Arts Extra.
Hey, it's Justin Saint, and you're listening to Queer FM Arts Extra on CITR 101.9. And I'm going to be talking to you guys a bit about some of the new TV shows we have this season. Now, Aiden was talking last week with a special guest of ours, the Mr. Dark from Fetish Night X, and they were talking a bit about the new shows that were more on the sci-fi, adventure, action, blowing shit up kind of side. I'm going to be talking a bit more about the girlier side of things, the happy-schmappy stuff. And there were three shows that I started watching. The first show is Pan Am. Pan Am is a show about, Pan Am. Pan Am is short for Pan American World Airways, and in the 60s it was considered the most luxurious way to travel by air. And the show is all about its stewardesses. It's been described by some as the Mad Men for women. Is it Mad Men for women? Honestly, I quite enjoyed parts of the show. It's really beautifully done. Visually, it's quite stunning. The recreations of, life in the 60s is pretty authentic. authentic as far as I can tell from history. I wasn't around during the 60s. But they tried to do, I think, too much. A lot of the cast and the crew in their interviews have been saying, you know, it's really innovative, it's all brand new. But honestly, the newness of it kind of falls flat. It, on one end, it's trying to be this family drama. On the other end is like Christina Ricci's character, which, you know, I partly wanted to watch the show because I am a big fan of Christina Ricci as an actress. She plays this kind of bohemian hippie type who was a Pan Am stewardess, but then, you know, went back to school, and they really needed her to come back on, so she, you know, she changed her plans, and now she's traveling the world, and it's all exciting, and wait, we had a family drama, right? And then on top of that, they have, you know, of course, your sex-infused soap opera drama, and then to wrap it all up in a nice little bun, they have a spy plot? That's where it kind of falls flat, at least for me. The pilot was really convoluted. There was too much going on. The narrative style just wasn't working for me. Again, you know, gorgeous show. I really, really love, you know, the actresses they chose to lead the show were pretty well picked. They're not really that diverse. You know, they're all white. You know, they're four white women. One of them's French. They're, you know, they're stewardesses, and sometimes it's hard to tell which ones. You know, the two sisters are basically the same person half the time. Hey, you know, it's very fun if you want something light. We're gonna keep watching, see if it gets better. But so far, eh. The next show that I saw was, part of the next show that I saw was called New Girl with Zooey Deschanel. Now, the last time I remember seeing Zooey Deschanel was the movie Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which was awesome! I haven't really seen much of her since, and everyone was, you know, making such a big fuss about this New Girl show with Zooey Deschanel, and I'm like, at first I thought she was the girl from Caprica. That was my bad, but I had to use the 5-minute rule. The 5-minute rule is when you start watching a movie. This is mainly for when you're reviewing film festival shows. You watch the first 5, and within the first 5, if you don't like it, you turn it off. I don't think I even reached 3 minutes on this show. You know, this started off like Zooey Deschanel plays this really quirky character. I usually absolutely adore quirky characters, but there was something about hers that just didn't hit it right with me. In the opening scene, she's on a taxi, just wearing an overcoat, and she's talking to her girlfriend about how, you know, her boyfriend has, you know, this fantasy that he wants her to come in, you know, as a stripper, and then she just surprises him, and so she shows up at what I'm assuming was their apartment, and, you know, surprises the boyfriend and starts taking her clothes off and starts dancing around, and guess what? He's sleeping with another woman. Oh no! And that's kind of the start of the show. But the thing is, her Zooey Deschanel is gorgeous. She's, you know, an absolute bombshell. She's very pretty, you know, great eyes, and the makeup on the show, you know, really flatters her, and her boyfriend looks like, I don't know, like he doesn't take care of himself, eats potato chips in his mother's couch all day, and it's like, what? And in the plot, New Girl, she's called New Girl because she moves in with these three straight guys, and one of them's kind of, you know, a metrosexual, and, you know, within 30 seconds, he's already taking his shirt off, and they're calling him a D-bag because of it, and I'm like, wow, this is like a weird Friends meets Entourage meets not my kind of show. But, again, not my kind of show. Maybe it's gotten better viewers, or better viewer numbers than other shows that have been popping up this season, so, hey. Might be your kind of show, not mine, so you won't be hearing any more about that show for me. And finally, the last show that I caught up on this season is, wait for it, Glee! I was really, really happy with season 3, or, you know, how it's been. Season 2 was a really, really disappointing season for me. They kind of took it, kind of like what Lady Gaga did with Born This Way. She, you know, it's an okay show, but it's an okay song, rather. But she was forcing people to jump on, you know, the bandwagon that Born This Way is, you know, this big, phenomenal song that'll be important. That's not how it works, darling. Things, you know, have been as they should. Forcing people to believe that, you know, this is the new anthem for the gays isn't going to make it the anthem for the gays. Time will tell, but hey, everyone, it's still being played everywhere, so Lord knows how that's going to go. But in Glee Season 2, a lot of the plot was about bullying in schools, which is fantastic. You know, big props to Glee for, you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, they brought the issue to a lot of homes, because it is television. It brought gay bullying, and, you know, last year, the It Gets Better campaign was huge, and, you know, Glee adding on to that really brought bullying to the spotlight. But you know what? Bullying still happens, so kind of mixed feelings about that now, and it kind of drew away from the point of Glee as a show. So, now that Season 3 is back, what are my thoughts? Well, first of all, around the whole gay thing, it's still there, but it's more self-aware. It knows that, you know, I like it when over-the-top shows kind of make fun of themselves, and they know that they're over-the-top. That works for me. That's a kind of the black comedy that really drew me to Glee at the start. And, well, on that note, musical songs are back. Well, all songs are musical, but actual songs from musical theater, they're actually being, you know, they're getting the spotlight on the show again. You know, when Glee started, the biggest support that Glee got was from, you know, the musical geeks, like me. The ones who, like, would die to see a show on Broadway or be in a show on Broadway or blah, blah, blah. So, hey, they're catering back to their original fans, which is fantastic. And one thing I did not like, again, about Season 2 was you could tell that a lot of big music producers were throwing money in. Like, Katy Perry had, what, 4 songs? And it was like, girl, like, you're good. We hear all your songs on the radio. We enjoy it. Why are you getting so much exposure on Glee? It's like, what is Glee, a big marketing ploy now? No. So, you know, now, hey, they've brought, you know, they had songs from, of all things, The Wizard of Oz, which I thought was really cute. And, you know, it brought a smile to my face, which is why, you know, personally for me, which is why I enjoy musicals, or one of the reasons I enjoy musicals. It makes me smile. Because, you know, when on days when I'm really down and I just feel, well, I just feel like that jaded guy who's, you know, too old for his, you know, 23-year-old body, and, hey, you know, Glee managed to make me smile again, and for that tiny moment, I felt like I was 12. So, yay, happy, happy. The other thing that made me glad about Glee was they went back to some plot holes at the end of Season 1, that they never dealt with during Season 2, the biggest thing being what happened to Quinfa Bray and her feelings about her baby. Like, you know, she gave her baby up for adoption and they never dealt with it again. Or she kind of mentions it in passing, but it was like, what happened, Glee producers? So, well, guess what? They actually brought that back, and, you know, it's been kind of one of the major plot lines for the first 2 episodes, which I think is great, because, you know, the writing in Season 3 now feels a lot less forced. It's a lot less, should I say, soap opera-ish. And it really took away from kind of the dark humor that really made Glee so good in the first place. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, we can actually pretend at this point that Season 2 never happened. You know, Mr. Shu and Emma are together, and Rachel and Finn are together. And yeah, it wasn't that what happened at the end of Season 1? So, yeah, I didn't even, you know, I was all over the soundtrack for Season 1. I can't even remember downloading most of season 2, so you know what? I'm just gonna forget that season 2 of Glee ever happened. And I'm very happy that Glee has gone back to its roots and it's doing what it's good, you know, it's back to being good at what it's good at. Being ridiculous, inappropriate, and showcasing over-the-top dark humor, which is just up my alley. So yeah, you're going to be hearing a lot more Glee from me, because I'll definitely be watching a lot more of Glee. And yeah, so if you're wanting to hear more reviews from me and the rest of the Queer FM gang, you can find us on iTunes. Yes, we have podcasts. And yep, you can find those on iTunes or CITR.ca or on our website, queerfmvancouver.com. And we also, I have to say this is really exciting for us. We just released our first ever Queer FM Weekly, which is our weekly new weekly newsletter that features, you know, if you missed our show, it'll have all the stuff from the show and stuff upcoming that we really like. So this week, Queer FM Weekly features the lovely, lovely ladies Fiona Forbes from Urban Rush. Yes, she was in the studio with us, and you can find the podcasts on the places that I told you about, iTunes and the CITR.ca and queerfmvancouver.com. We also interviewed the lovely Babe Cole here on Arts Extra. And you'll find, you know, some of the things we love that are upcoming and that, you know, you might not want to miss. So, for Queer FM Arts Extra, this is Justin Saint on CITR 101.9.
And this is Aiden Saint at CITR 101.9. That was the lovely Justin Saint. And I'm in the studio with Barb Snellgrove. And so, it's you were saying that it's a momentous occasion, and this is one of the first weeks where you don't have your entire schedule filled every single second.
Don't say that, because everyone will contact me to fill entirely my schedule.
Now you can check Barb Snellgrove out on Facebook so you can actually fill her schedule. She loves that kind of crap. Just call... Oh, sorry. Live mic. So this week is Mr. and Ms. Gay Vancouver 32 pageant in the city of Vancouver. And what is Mr. and Ms. Gay Vancouver, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the Rhinestone Phoenix Charity Foundation, and I'm actually a part of that. I was Mr. Gay Vancouver XXX, and so I'm a Wuzzy, which is really cool. Every year they elect a new Mr., Ms., and possibly Miss Gay Vancouver, their ambassadors to the city. They go out, they raise money for
lots
various charities.
Yeah.
And so that's this week. They have the in-town show, the out-of-town show, there's a cocktail party awards ceremony, and this Saturday night is the big hoo-ha that's happening. And you'll get a chance to go and vote for your favorite performer slash personality to represent the city. And if you're not into that, you can go down to all kinds of other things. Man Up is happening here. Also, Fetish Noir with Reeve, one of our favorites.
God bless. We love Reeve.
We love you, Reeve.
Yeah.
And he's having his thing at the Cobalt on Saturday night. And there is rumor that I will be making an appearance there. That's the big Halloween fetish. It's a dress-up party is actually what it is.
Yeah, let's put it that way.
It's kind of fun. No, I really dig
that thing. 1001... man-made materials and how to wear them effectively.
And you can, I mean, you'll see everything there. It's really worth checking out. And so if you're not into drag and whatnot, also 560's doing they're always doing a really big show, though. Now, I did want to talk with Barb for just a minute, because she's new to this whole radio thing. She's been on the air before.
A number of times, yeah.
Now she's going to start producing.
From the knob side out.
We're giving Barb Snellgrove a knob.
God help you all.
Just one knob at first, and then multiple knobs. Managing knobs, yes. Knobs and dials. Well, so I'm curious, because some of these really big events, I get a lot of invitations, as you
do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I cover a lot of things for the show. People have been very gracious. I never, never, never expect that I'm going to get VIP anything. I never expect that I'm going to get comped to anything. And if I'm going to cover something for the show especially, I will contact them well in advance and
right.
say, look, I'm going to do this. But I'm curious. Some of these parties, I wonder, they're at 560. Generally, they're the 560 parties. But the tickets are ridiculously expensive. It's like, really? I look at it and it's like, well, I'd really like to go, but I'm a Leatherman, so, and I'm not 22 anymore, so I'm going to an event where the average age is going to be lower than mine.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be wearing leather, and they're going to be, it's going to be a fun party. Don't get me wrong, and I love the music they bring in. It's fantastic. But what's with the $30+ price to get in?
Well, you also have to keep in mind that, you know, long gone are the days of you get a headset, you know, and you've been around as long as we have, that it was always $10 or $15 to get into anything. And forgetting that nowadays, you know, production costs are a hell of a lot more. I don't think anyone is particularly getting a much greater profit level than there was 10, 15 years ago. I think you just sort of have to move along the cost of living for everything. But I often, when I'm talking to people, because I used to produce parties many, many, many years ago, and when people sit down with me and say that they want to do this or put on an event, I invariably always end up saying, drop the price. Don't go that high. Try and get it in a, you know, right in the middle where everyone can. It might be reaching for some. For others, it might be cheaper, but, you know, The 1999 thing, the rule really works well, right?
Yeah, and I really agree.
But it's venue costs and, you know, the booze and all sorts of stuff.
One of the people said to me, "Hey, you go into this thing at 560? Is that the one that costs $40?" No, I'm not.
Yeah, it's and of course, there is that consistency. Once a number of them all, usually about $30 is the norm. They all do that. And I mean, now New Year's and Halloween, that can run you up to $70
a
pop for an event.
Well, it's kind of like this. Again, I understand. I mean, you know, and everyone's trying to make a buck, and the venues are hurting for certain. I mean, they really are.
Do you think they'd then drop the price so that then you drop the price of the ticket?
You would think so.
You'd think.
But anyway, so there's a fantastic number of events coming up, and I always tend to reference people back not only to our website, queerfmvancouver.com, but also to the boys at gayvancouver.net.
I was just thinking that. I said, you know, you should just say gayvancouver.net. They cover a lot. So does gayvan.com, to be
honest. Gayvan.com does as well. I would like to also, a little personal thing, one of the guys from gayvancouver.net is ill, and, well, you know.
Is it Mark?
I think so.
Oh,
you've been burning the candle at both. You haven't been burning the candle at both ends. You chopped that sumbitch up into a whole bunch of little things and lit a flamethrower on it.
Yeah.
Okay? So
he works very hard on behalf of getting the word out for all of the LGBTQ community.
So we're gonna. Justin and I had a talk last night. We're gonna get those boys in here, by God, one of these days, and have a little talk about, you know, what it's like to be a repository for a lot of information. It's fantastic the amount of information that they have out. So if you're new, if you're listening to this show and you want to check out the Vancouver scene from pretty much from the gay point of view.
Very much an insider's.
Yeah, very much.
And he'll go to the opening of an envelope, I swear.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's got
At first, when we took over Queer FM a year ago, and it's about a year now. Yeah, we're on our, like, one-year anniversary.
Congrats.
We tried to go to everything, and then we just realized, you know, I think those boys have cloned themselves, because there's no damn way we can do this. No way. So we're just going to – you all have fun, and we're going to be in the back having a scotch and a smoke. All right. So we're going to play a little bit more music here for you. We've got – well, this is one of my favorite tunes from the 1980s. It's been covered. And we'll see if you catch this. It's Queer FM Arts Extra. We're going to be – right back, going to say a few words, and then going to go out with a little bit of Queen. My name's Aidan Saint.
I'm Barb Snellgrove.
And we'll be right back. CITR 101.9 FM.
Who can say where they're blowing? than this.
Isn't that cool? Okay, that was Jasper Forks and More Than This. My name's Aiden Saint, and we're going to start wrapping things up here on Queer FM Arts Extra, CITR 101.9 FM. So if you heard a female voice and it didn't sound like Samantha Mack because she didn't say, "I'm Samantha Mack, and you're welcome," then that would be true, because this is Barb Snellgrove.
Good morning, CITR Radio.
Well, you can check out Barb Snellgrove. She's very well known and very cool. She does so many things for charity. She MCs. If they ask her to open it, I think there actually was an envelope.
They're opening the envelope. Yep.
So Barb has done so much for our community, and she is famous for the over-the-head camera picture.
The kamikaze shot.
The only picture that I have of her on our last, one of the boat cruises in the summer, was a straight-on shot. And she bitched about it for a while after that, because, you know.
Double chins, man. It's all about looking good on camera.
This is it.
You get the way up top, looking down. You never have a double chin to deal with.
Barb Snellgrove has a fan page. You can go out to Facebook. You've heard of this thing called Facebook? Yeah. Head out to Facebook, check it out. And speaking of Facebook, they have the Facebook iPad app. And it's
took them way too long to come up with that.
But it actually works, and it's good. I was astounded. I actually got a nosebleed and had to run into the restroom. I really did. I looked at the thing, and it's like, wow, it works, and it's easy to use, and I don't have to screw around, and it didn't crash my... What's going on? Is this like a social experiment? Who's watching here? Are they looking? Is my camera activated? It was, check it out. You can go out to iTunes and pick that up. It's really worth it.
I'm surprised that took that long. I really am.
They've actually had it for 6 months. It's just been in beta. So we are going to step aside with, of course, a little bit of Queen here at the end of Arts Extra. Again, Arts Extra sponsors the Fall Tattoo. You can check those guys out. They're really fantastic in the art and shirts and all kinds of cool stuff you can buy. One of the best places in town. Check them out. And thank you for sponsoring us here on Queer FM Arts Extra. Well, this is Aiden Saint.
And I'm Barb Snellgrove.
And we are out of here. We're going to play a little Queen going out. And have a great day, Vancouver.
Enjoy your week, everybody.
Bye.
I want it all, I need it all, right now.
want a wind that's been blown, something unknown, buried under a mile of snow. Found a fix for the fits. Come listen to this, as intimate as a kiss over a phone. And it goes. Found a fix for the fits. Come listen to this. It's buried under the hiss, and it glows like a powerful smile. Car radio dial, as intimate as a kiss over a phone.
Jack's home. He wanna leave and they don't know how. He wanna try but he